The underdog is howling.
This is Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Week 12. Can't believe it. We have a ton of stuff to get through, Bear. First off, College Game Day. Orlando is your Speedo pack.
Absolutely. Poolside Friday morning before the meal. I'll be doing McElroy and Zarza poolside in the Speedo about 8 a.m. On Friday morning.
Beware. We're warning. We're warning the people.
Exactly. Staying. I have no idea where I'm staying, but.
Now, our guy, Rodney Perez.
Completely kidding, by the way. No one needs that at all.
Imagine the Bear just out there.
No.
Now, our guy, Rodney Perez, had one of the all-timers last year with that College Game Day at Miami, your home turf. Are we expecting, like, is there sand available for the set? Is there flip-flops involved? Like, what are we doing? What's the weather like? I don't even know.
It's supposed to be mid-70s, I think, so it's supposed to be perfect weather-wise. I've never been on UCF's campus, so I really don't know. I mean, gosh, I remember when I was a Miami student, I mean, UCF was a kind of coming up.
You guys laughed at them.
It was a commuter. No.
Yeah, you did.
Didn't even have it. It had a football team back then.
Now they do.
I had a friend who was a UCF student, but it's funny. Lee Corso saw this coming 22 years ago in 1996 or 1997. I can't remember.
Did we find that audio?
We haven't found it. But
oh, come on.
And when Miami was about to go on probation, in the mid-90s, they may have been on probation, and UCF had just started in the FBS, and they had Dante Culpepper, and they were just starting to get going. And Lee Corso made the proclamation that UCF was going to become the number three program in the state because they had an airport. Orlando had a great airport.
Got it.
So that the airport they were going to be able to recruit people in. So affection.
I like the Tampa airport better.
I don't know. I like the Orlando airport because the hotel right there is great. Right downstairs, TSA pre clear gone. But Corso was ahead of his time.
He was.
And
you guys make fun of him.
Affectionately, ever since then, like, we've referred to UCF as the airport on our show because of a little ridiculous comment that Corso, Orlando resident, made 20-something years ago.
Oh, man. It'll be interesting. We asked Heupel the other night on the show if Herb Street's going to make it out of there, and Coach Heupel had a good laugh. I hope Kinley and those boys are buckled up this week.
They will be. We're ready to roll.
Make sure nobody can get near you on that side set. All right. Plenty to get to today. We got Nooners, multiple. I said Nooners. And we'll continue our streak, hopefully, with that. We disagree on a game, which has not happened.
First time this year.
What else we got? Ed Sammons from the Westgate Superbook is going to join us. And we got to throw some numbers with the new rankings. Not much to discuss there with nothing changing, even though I think Wazoo deserves to be ahead of Oklahoma because that defense is putrid.
So does David Pollock, by the way.
Oh, really? See? Good minds think alike. I'm interested to see where Ed has Washington State because I have a feeling he doesn't like him as much as I am. And then, you know, I am a homer.
Yeah, they have been consistently ranked higher in the CFP rankings than they have been in a lot of the power rating type metrics. Like, if you look at just FPI per se.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they're 18th in FPI, and they're 8th in the college football playoff ranking. So I'm curious to see. I would think Ed would have them a little bit closer to 18 than 8.
All right. We'll see.
Doesn't mean the committee's wrong, though. The committee could be right.
You know we're going to get an Alabama versus UCF line.
We are.
And I'm going to start out by asking them, we have the rankings finally. What I want to know is if that's the games, like, I'm starting to think these teams are going to win out, and that might be it.
Yeah,
I want to know what's the line? What do we got here?
You're looking at now an eight-game money line parlay.
Whoa! With another one?
One? Thank you very much.
My man. 11 or 12 teams?
I think it was 12 or 13, actually.
People were just taking versions.
I think I gave 13, and if you play, like, some sites wouldn't allow you to play more than 10 or somewhere. But it won, and some people got like 3 or 3.5 to 1. So we said flat out last week it was that type of week. Like, it was hard to find stuff, and I know I managed 3-1 in the column, and then the money line parlay, and USC was predictably terrible. So we took a shot at 8-1, didn't happen, and you had a good week as well. So we're killing them.
Yep, we're just gonna keep treading along, man. You know, maybe somebody will notice once in a while, and you know, offer some gifts for the holidays. Maybe, I don't know. We're helping people out across the country and even overseas. I'm getting
we
texts
are.
Now.
I got some messages this weekend as well.
Going global. What else we got? We got a steamer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I like it.
I potentially do.
Okay.
It's weather contingent.
All right.
It's weather contingent. So it'll be
All right. I can't go any longer.
And then in a big time steamer condo pick that you can bet your condo on.
Over in the Syracuse Notre Dame game.
63 is what I last saw the number at.
I've seen 65.
Has it gone up to that now?
We'll give him 63.5.
Okay.
Okay. 63.5 super condo steamer pick. I don't know, man. I love Notre Dame's defense, and I'm starting to, I mean, how can't you like what Syracuse has done? That's one of the best turnarounds of a unit all year.
It was baffling to me last night when I was looking at rankings. Like, Syracuse's team in terms of, like, defensive efficiency, they're 21st.
Mm-hmm.
They're Notre Dame's 15th. Like, I was like, wait a minute, this has to be inverted. Like, they have to be 21 on offense and 51 on defense. And I went back and looked, and no. But this has the potential to be a pretty high-scoring game, I think, on Saturday. Again, you're going to have to check the weather, check wind, check any elements. I know it's supposed to snow and rain in the Northeast over the later part of the week. We'll see if that lingers. But I think this does have the potential to be a game where both teams get into the 30s.
Wow. I don't see that. I disagree with the steamer. Me and my man, Coach D, we'll have a little side tea, sweet tea side bet going on that one. All right, let's might as well get into it, right?
We'll start at noon.
Let's ride the lightning with the
start
noon.
Start noon.
You go first, big boy.
Isn't it just too perfect that Wake is going to give Pitt a game on Saturday?
Oh boy, we agree. Oh boy, we're starting off just like this.
Hey, well, that's how we started
week
off.
Week 12.
We started off with Ohio State last week, unbeknownst to each other.
God, was that
ugly.
It was
as ugly and painful to watch as we thought it would be. And you knew once Ohio State got up the touchdown.
I tweeted. I said, if their defense doesn't score, they're not going to cover. Yeah, thankfully, their defense did. Man, that was ugly. I almost gave up. I texted you in the fourth quarter. I said, if nothing happens here, we're done.
And I said, you know, Michigan State's not scoring. So if they can just get one touchdown, we'll be good. And
I also think if Ryan Russillo had long hair, he would be Rocky Lombardi. Built just like him. Ox out there.
But Pitt's been playing so great, and their road to the ACC championship game is obvious, and they're probably going to be there. But Wake has actually played a lot better the last couple of weeks. I think they've gotten some of their issues straightened out.
Mm-hmm.
Getting 7 points at home against a team that the only time they've gone on the road this year as a favorite was at North Carolina when they lost to a team. What's UNC now, 1-9?
Yeah, one win.
I don't know. I got to take the 7. Wake may not win the game outright, but I got to take 7 points.
I'm with you. It's just based off the fact that you got to figure something's going to go wrong. Pitt's actually made things look a little easy the last couple weeks, and I just don't think they're that good. I like Wake Forest's coaching style. I know he made the move on defense, but they've made a move. After that whole debacle a couple years ago, I've kind of find myself rooting for him. Because I think they got wronged so badly. They go on the road and win at a team that you called was the most overrated team in the top 14 in the country at NC State. They went up to Syracuse. I thought they hung around with Syracuse. Right.
That was weird line,
yeah,
too.
And they just didn't have enough in the end. Pitt looks pretty basic to me on offense. So, like, when you look at that Wake Forest defense, I know
a lot of his past
paper
napkin issues.
Yeah, I think they can keep guys in front of them and frustrate Pitt. And I like the offense. Their receiving core, Wake Forest, they got guys that could catch the ball all over the place. And I still can't believe NC State that blitz they ran at the game. I can't believe it. Like, You don't leave the tight end wide open in the red zone like Dak Bear. So we agree on a nooner again. Wake Forest plus 7. Where should we go?
I got another nooner.
Oh, you do?
I do have another
nooner. Let's go.
I tweeted out on Sunday. Nebraska's going to be favored against Michigan State, aren't they? And the majority consensus was, the majority seemed to agree that they might have been. Mm-hmm. Some people thought it would be pick 'em. Some people had Michigan State as a small favorite. And I see Michigan State minus 2.5. And
what's going on there?
How I know Nebraska's defense is terrible, but how are they scoring? I mean, this is a Michigan State defense that struggled to score on a lot of people. They struggled to score in Maryland, struggled against Northwestern to score. Mm-hmm. I mean, defensively, they're great against the run, but gosh, in watching that offense last week, the passing game is just
no separation. Stone age. They can't separate.
Nebraska, like I said, Nebraska's defense has been bad and given up a ton of points, but with Martinez, look, this game is about, I don't want to use momentum for that because it's not, but this everything Nebraska is doing from here, like this week, Iowa, is about confidence, feeling good about this year, building for next year. It's their final home game, and if they can win this week and then go to Kinnick and maybe win and finish 5-7 after where they were to start.
Preseason ranking next year.
You're looking at a team that's going to be a very trendy pick in the Big Ten next year, but I love their offense. I think they're able to get some favorable matchups at home. I think they send their fans home with the win and reward them for sticking with them through a rough part of the early year. And I love the way they're playing late. And maybe I'm dead wrong, but I think they should be favored in the game.
Okay. I can't wait to watch this game. I've talked about my affinity for Nebraska all season. I've followed them as closely as anybody. And you talk to people out there. I've gone on a couple radio stations out there, shows, talk to people in the coaching staff, talk to people with the program, talk to people that live in the area, and like they're just fired up, man. Like
they're so optimistic.
The situation they have, like, man, bring Michigan State in. They beat them a couple years ago in a horrible situation. Yep. That was one of your best underdog calls. I still will never forget. I remember being out in Boulder after watching Stanford beat Colorado and saddling up to an establishment to watch that Nebraska Michigan State game. Who was the quarterback? Connor Cook. Connor Cook was the quarterback. Yeah. So I mean, it's this snowball effect with Nebraska. The one thing I will point out is it's going to be 31 degrees in Lincoln, and I'm interested to see how Martinez plays there. And I'm interested to see what Nebraska does to be able to run the ball because they're still going to try and run the ball. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned how Michigan's – are they still number one?
I believe they are.
Against and Ohio State got a couple gashes in the second half.
Yeah, late
where
they
it totally seemed like game plan stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to do this 7 times in a row, and then we're going to come back with this counter. So it's as appealing a game to me on the slate Saturday. And, I mean, let's be honest, it's not a great slate.
Correct. I'd even go as far to say in the 23 years on the show, it's probably the worst weekend of
the year. Is it worse than last week?
I think so. I shouldn't say that. So I think Notre Dame Syracuse is a good game. I think there are a lot of other interesting games.
Pressure's on. You still have those stats from the people that lose in November.
With some of the results last week, Tennessee now is interesting. Get bowl eligible. I mean, I shouldn't say that. It's college football.
Yeah.
It's great. Don't
be negative. Come on. All right, so you're going Huskers there. Are we done with noon games? Because I have one I'm thinking about, and that's Ohio State. The lines come down. I didn't know what it was going to be. Tough loss for Maryland. Those of you guys that rode the Terps over season win total, we got a push out of it. I don't think they're going to win against Ohio State, and then they have Coach Franklin, who will try and put up 100 on them if he can with Penn State the following week. I just don't see the season win total going over. I look at Ohio State. Maryland lost their quarterback last week. They already can't throw the ball anyway. They're so one-dimensional. The defense is very limited. No one goes to their games. Their attendance is atrocious. And I just look at this as a kind of a walk in the park for Ohio State if they want to be there. I don't think the weather's going to be too crazy.
So in other words, it's a really desirable job. You just sold it really well. Nobody goes to their games.
Am I wrong? Have you looked? Like, put it on at noon. It's bad. Come on, students. Do it for Van Pelt. So I'm leaning towards giving officially out Ohio State, but I'm definitely leaning that way. I'm not sure if they'll be in the column, but I do like Ohio State on there. Let's wrap the picks right there. I want to do some talking with Ed Sammons from the Westgate Superbook. We mentioned what we're going to talk to him about, and I'm going to ask him flat out, if that's the top four at the end of the season, what are we looking at for point spreads between what would it be Alabama versus Michigan?
Clemson versus Notre Dame.
Sites TBA. So we'll do Ed Sammons on the back end of this, and then all the rest of our picks, including a money line parlay from each of us. And we already gave you the steamer, so more picks after Ed Sammons. And to talk some lines regarding the college football playoff rankings, which were released last night, week three of those, we welcome in Ed Sammons, Westgate Superbook. Ed, thanks again for doing this. I want to start right at the top. The college football playoff rankings, Bama 1, Clemson 2, Notre Dame 3, Michigan 4. If those were the semifinal matchups today, what are you looking at for spreads regarding, as we would have Bama versus Michigan and Clemson versus Notre Dame?
Well, I mean, right off the top, I know Notre Dame's undefeated, but they certainly wouldn't be number three to me as far as my ratings.
Okay.
As far as an Alabama-Michigan game, we're probably looking, you know, somewhere around 11.5 on Alabama, maybe a touch higher, maybe a 12.5, pushing 13, somewhere in that neck of the woods.
Wow.
And then a Clemson-Notre Dame game, we're probably looking at close to 14.
Wow.
That's amazing to me. You think a couple of years ago how Notre Dame went to Clemson and nearly won that game. I think that really shows the separation, at least maybe not just in the committee's mind, but in the Las Vegas and the power rankings and the odds makers' mind as well, the difference between those two. And what I had seen, what, like 7.5 or 8, if it were Alabama-Clemson, is that what you would think?
That's what we have right now at 7.5, and that line's very fluid. Sure. Obviously, we think we'll probably, you know, unless Alabama absolutely destroys Georgia in that SEC championship game, which the way they're going, who knows? They could very well could do it. You know, we're thinking it's going to be somewhere in that 7.5, 9.5 range.
And that's a great number, because I think you're getting people who at 7.5, you take the dog, you're getting a touchdown as well, and then there are people who think Alabama thinks head and shoulders above everybody. That's two-way action. That's the name of the game. College game day is headed to UCF, and obviously the last couple of years you've had this underswell of people trying to make a case for UCF to be in the college football playoff, to be considered as one of these top four teams. And the committee has them ranked 11th, which I think – they're kind of living off of last year's reputation to begin with, and that's why they're this high. Where do you have UCF in your rankings, and what would you make them against most of these teams in the top 10 in terms of a lot? Because I think that's what people are interested to know. We can beat anybody in a one-game spot, but realistically, what type of numbers are we looking at with UCF and these top 10 teams?
Well, the one thing about, you know, a power rating is when you have these lesser conferences like the American, teams will start, you know, like last year. I agree with what you said about UCF last year. They're obviously a much stronger team last year than this year. This year they're still winning, but you can see the flaws in their game. I mean, they gave up almost 700 yards to Temple at home 2 weeks ago, and that was a really disturbing performance. But some of these lesser teams are so bad that you wind up raising your number on teams like UCS, Memphis, to an unrealistic number. So then when you do get to bowl time, you need to lower those numbers back. So I'd say if UCF was to play Alabama in a bowl game, I mean, we're probably looking somewhere around 27.
and people, I would guess, would lay it no problem seeing that defense. What did you think?
There's a possibility, but, you know, UCF has a you know, there's a lot of people that believe in UCF, and obviously they beat up on these American teams pretty good. So, you know, they have a loyal following.
What's the drop off to the next couple teams? You know, UCF versus the other. Like, how much does the spread change?
I mean, the second team I have would be Memphis, and you know, I have Memphis about 5 points less than UCF, maybe four. So it's not really that much of a difference. When they played that game this year, Memphis would have won that game, except for it started pouring at halftime, and Memphis couldn't hold on to the ball in the second half. But they really were going to beat UCF in that game. That was pretty evident.
Yeah, and they had that 70-yard touchdown run on fourth and one where, obviously they made a play, but that really did. Hey, it's interesting. One the matchup that, if form holds, and we all know it won't hold, but they would potentially meet up with LSU in a ball game. And I think a lot of people are outraged at how undefeated UCF is ranked four spots behind two-loss LSU. Like, what would you make UCF-LSU if that were the Fiesta Bowl matchup?
If those two teams played, I'd probably have that game about LSU, you know, 6.5, 7, somewhere in that range, probably 7.
Yeah, so that's not as big of – so the argument I think a lot of people would have, that is not as big of a drop-off as a lot of people might think. It's a lot closer, I think, than most people would think.
Yeah, and I wanted to go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, UCF has a game this week, which, you know, it's – I know they played Temple 2 weeks ago, and the spread was – I think it opened 10. The quarterback was questionable. He wound up playing. I think it actually closed 10, and, you know, that's the game Temple was up 6.5, and the score was a little misleading. Now, this week they're playing Cincinnati, who is very similar to Temple, and the spread's 7, which I think that spread's a little low, but that's telling me that my number on UCF is too high right now. So, you know, that LSU game, if UCF were to beat Cincinnati and struggle through it, I mean, we could be looking close to double digits in that game just because of the class differential in those teams.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the team. You mentioned at the top with Notre Dame, you wouldn't have them 3. How many teams do you have power rated ahead of Notre Dame?
Right now I have – let me see. I can tell you exactly how many I have. I know I have Alabama number 1. I have Clemson 2. Uh-huh. Michigan 3. Oklahoma 4.
Wow.
Georgia 5. I think I have LSU ahead of Notre Dame right now. So, I have Notre Dame towards my bottom of the top 10.
Gotcha. Right ahead of probably Washington State and West Virginia, correct?
Oh, I have Washington State more down towards 20.
Wow.
Washington State's complete fraudulent team that's playing in a just garbage conference.
Oh, come on. Just because they beat each other, Ed? You take away from the Pac-12?
Hey, I'll say this about Mike Leach. I think this is his greatest coaching job he's ever done with this team, given that he was trying to take the Tennessee job because – you know, they had all kinds of problems here. The one quarterback had, committed suicide, and he was the kid that was supposed to be the quarterback, and they had to go out and get another one, and the whole defense was new. The defensive coordinator left and went to Ohio. I mean, everything. I thought they were going to be bad this year. I'm amazed at how well they've done.
Totally agree.
Well, they did not receive a single point in the preseason, Paul. You remember we had that note about you go back since 2002.
Yeah.
Every year since 2002, there's been a team in the top 10 that hasn't finished ranked. And more often than not, there is a team that hasn't even received a point that's won a finish in the top 10, and maybe Wazoo, maybe Syracuse is that team this year. But it's interesting because of your rating on Washington State, and I'm sure there are probably other people around town that have that similar viewpoint. That's probably the reason why they've only lost one game against the number, because they've been a little bit underrated in your minds, right?
Oh, agree 100%. My exact numbers, I have Notre Dame at number 7.
Okay.
And I have Washington State at number 17.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have Washington State right around teams like Iowa State, Texas A&M, Utah. Utah's a little sketchy because, you know, the quarterbacks change, but they're still a solid team. And Stanford have those teams real close.
You mentioned Iowa State, and this is just an off-the-wall question. Steve and I talked about it last week, just throwing random stuff up against the wall. Do you have Iowa State as the highest-ranked 3-loss team?
Let me see here. Not really. I don't. And now Washington.
Okay. So you're looking at UW as a favorite of the Apple Cup next week, then, right?
Yes.
On the road.
But it's let me think. I mean, it's going to be close to.
Yeah.
It, you know, it depends on obviously the games this week. You know, Washington is playing so bad lately. I like Chris Peterson a lot. I think he'll turn it around a little bit here. And, you know, I could see that game being pick. I mean, it's close.
Yeah, I think you're going to get all Washington
money. The game's at Washington State, correct?
Yes, yes. Tim Pullman.
Yep.
Yeah, yes, yes. So I definitely could see that game around pickish.
When you look at the season and how it looks like we're headed towards the double of Alabama winning the national title, Tua winning the Heisman, is that a good result or a bad result for the House, or is there something that you really is a big liability that you guys are really worried about right now?
I mean, Tua to win the Heisman, we're going to get drilled on. So, I mean, it's not really a lot of worrying because it's done. It's almost, I would say there's no chance he wouldn't win. And as far as Alabama winning the national championship, we're in a good situation on them. It was just a matter of getting out front of it and trying to. I mean, I had someone bet me $60,000 at -110, I think after like week two or week three.
Wow.
And now what is it, 280 right now or something like that, 300?
Right now we have a -250, 2-5.
Huh. Well, that just shows you how big of a favorite it is. They are. Ed, I really want to say thanks for joining us and getting some of these things cranked out as we're getting close to that time of year where people are starting to get some of that holiday money, and maybe they'll start throwing it around a little bit with the information you gathered.
Okay. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Ed.
Wow. Just listening back to the semifinal lines, Alabama sounded like he was going to get close to 13.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see how Clemson. That went. Clemson 14 against Notre Dame.
Give me Notre Dame.
Yeah, that just goes to show you how the separation between those two teams is just amazing.
And you got to think of draw like how maybe next week we'll get it. We'll get the Oklahoma effect, because I know like those guys, like he's mentioned Oklahoma in his power ratings. Mm-hmm. He has higher, and I get it. You know, the offense, and people love the offense. But I would take my chances, I think, with – I mean, that's the way you're going to beat Alabama in those
right.
teams. Alabama and Clemson, you would take Oklahoma of the top, say, 7-8 teams?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, just because you saw last year with Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl against Georgia, their potential to score points. Someone actually asked me this week on Twitter about who would you rather see Alabama player who has a better chance of beating Alabama, Michigan or Oklahoma. And I thought it'd be Oklahoma just because I think offensively they're just so much more dangerous. And while defensively they're going to give up a bunch of points, I mean, I don't – how many points is Michigan going to score in Alabama?
20.
Alabama's not going to score 21? Yeah, Alabama's not going to score 31?
I don't know.
That's
why they play the game, Bear.
Away from home, Michigan – away from home, Michigan's been such a different team this year.
I see what you're saying.
We'll see.
You don't think that time to game plan at all? That helps?
Oh, they will.
You know?
They totally will. And
I don't know. I think Michigan's better offensively than we're giving them credit for.
I think we're going to find out. I think you're right about that, because if you look in terms of like efficiency ratings and like QBR, like Patterson is like very surprisingly high in QBR. And if you look at Michigan's offense, I mean, they're a top 10 offense efficiency-wise.
Yeah.
Which I don't think people – really, I was certainly
wanted
a little
to
bit,
have patience for.
Yeah.
After week one,
but I think he might get some Michigan money at that number.
Oh yeah, I think so. But my issue is
for no other.
I'm not sure Michigan's still going to be winning Columbus. I'm not positive on that. Are you? What was it? Three and a half last week.
Three and a half is what it is right now.
I'll take the 3.5.
And Jeff Sherman. Ed's
it's only going to go up.
Ed's colleague at Westgate, I think they had a couple of bets that they've written on that Ohio State Michigan right now, and I think it was like I think Jeff said it was he's written 7 Michigan bets -3.5 and hasn't written a single Ohio State bet.
Give me that. So give me Ohio State.
We'll see what it is next week. But you're right. I think the fact that Ohio State's needed something to kind of kick him in the a little bit and get him motivated. And I think next week, the fact that everybody in the world is going to be picking against them on their home field, they're going to be an underdog on their home field to lose to a team that they've beaten how many straight times now? Is it 2005? Is it like 11 straight? No. They did it.
They had the one.
2000.
The Braxton Miller
game. Yeah, old 10 or
we
11
had the guy
it was.
Wide
yeah.
open in Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, lost once in the last 12 years.
Yes, correct.
That might be the thing that they need to put together a pretty inspired effort.
Pretty safe to say you'll be at Columbus for game day?
I would think so.
And then where?
I know where I'll be winding up tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In your bed?
On a flight home from LAX.
Very good. You'll be like, no one in the country will have flown more than you that day.
You're probably right about that.
Right?
You're probably right about that.
I'll be thinking of you, buddy.
I appreciate that.
More on that next week, our special holiday edition of Stanford Steve and the Bear.
I'll bring in some homemade cranberry sauce for you.
I don't eat
whole berry. You don't eat?
No.
Really?
No. I don't want any cold food on Thanksgiving.
You just want, give me stuffing, give me mash,
yeah.
give me turkey.
What do the people down south call stuffing? Dressing, they call it. Like, I never understood that.
Dressing is what I put on my salad for lunch.
Correct. Time. Correct. And gravy, you put on the whole plate.
You just get
turkey,
that. You just,
sweet
you
potatoes,
just get that,
mashed potatoes,
you,
stuffing,
you just
corn.
Get the ladle and just all
serve. Heck yeah.
Really? Even on the sweet potatoes?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
Because with the brown sugar on there and the...
And you get a nice hot roll later at night and you put all that on there. Woo-hoo! Night-night. Night-night. Man. All right, so where were we? We got to get some more picks
some
in
picks.
There. All right. It hasn't happened all year. And there's a game in West Lafayette at 3:30 on the old BTN that we differ on. I will give the floor to you first, sir.
I like Purdue minus
okay.
4.5. I just think how awful Purdue looked last week. You come home. It's a chance to get bowl eligible. That way you don't have to win the bucket game to get bowl eligible in Bloomington at the end of the year.
Valid.
All the rumors surrounding Jeff Brohm, is he going to stay? Is he going to go to Louisville? I think his mind is probably made up on that. I'm sure. Gosh, Wisconsin has been so terrible on the road this year, losing by double digits at Michigan, losing by double digits to Penn State. Offensively, they're entirely one-dimensional right now. Purdue has been such a different team at home versus on the road. I think there's going to be a lot of emotion in that building on Saturday. I think, what is it, 12 straight, I think they've lost to them.
Mm.
And, like, all of them but one have been by double digits. Last year they came really close to beating them in at Camp Randall. I think that the losing streak ends on Saturday. I think Purdue wins, and I think they cover.
All right. I just look at Wisconsin. I understand they haven't been good, but those are some darn good teams they went on the road and lost to. And I still think they had a really good win at Iowa earlier this year, which I need a whole podcast to go through Iowa's season this year. Man. Has that been unfortunate for them? I think they're a good football team. I really do. But I look at Wisconsin's ability to do what they do, and I think that's good enough on the road against Purdue. I don't like Purdue's defensive talent. I get the night against Ohio State. They played out of their you-know-whats. I just think Wisconsin has – they have the chest. They have the desire.
Typically they do. I know.
I think they have the defense to keep guys in front of them. I don't see guys running free like they were against Ohio State. I think the discipline on defense. I think Jim Leonard will get that going, and I think Taylor will run. I think Wisconsin cannot play from behind. They jump out 7-0 on what third play of the game last week
at Penn State.
And they just can't. They just couldn't hold on. I think they threw three passes. You could see the game plan. I just look at this as a more open opportunity for that Wisconsin offense. I'm not saying they're great by any means, but I think they could do some things against Purdue's defense. And, I still think Purdue, win the game by a field goal, but I'll take, was it 4.5? It was
4.5.
Five
all
week.
Yeah.
That's what had me looking at it. But we'll disagree on the podcast for the first time this year on
the
game.
We're going to have to adjust the combined record then next week. We won't be able just to add it up together.
What else you got?
I'm interested in your opinion on this game. And I know It's kind of been a season of streak enders for Cal.
Mm-hmm.
You beat Washington last week. You find a way to beat USC. I don't know how they won the game.
How were you watching it?
I was actually driving home from BC.
I couldn't believe how bad of a spot they gave the quarterback on the slide. It was atrocious. Yeah, rule's got to be looked at. It has to be looked at. It's bad.
The radio call that I was listening to seemed to agree with that sentiment.
It was so bad. It shouldn't even have been reviewed. Like, Wilcox is running right there. Like, it's right in front of me. Like, yes, we got it. And then the ref walks up and puts the ball in, and then that whole catastrophe after that. USC just can't help themselves. But anyway, you're talking big game here.
I am talking. I think the Axe might relocate this year for the first time since 2009.
It's one of the first things I said about this season before the season started. I said on this podcast, Cal was going to beat Stanford, and nothing has changed my mind. Watching how things have transpired, Arcega Whiteside is going to play. That's a huge, huge unknown. He's probably the team's MVP. Stanford's defense just and Cal just does whatever they need to do offensively to win.
Which is like nothing.
Yeah, I mean, hey, how many teams in the Pac-12 can? I'm not saying USC is a great team, but go to the Coliseum, get shut out in the first half, and say, you know what, we're going to pitch a shutout, score two touchdowns, and win the game.
And we're not going to score an offensive touchdown against Washington, and we're going to beat them.
Like that. That doesn't happen,
no.
You know, and that's a tribute to Cal. I was actually going to tweet out, could somebody hire Justin Wilcox this week so he's gone for this game? Like, get him out of Berkeley. But I believe this is the first time both teams have had the same record since 2009, and in that game is still one of the most heartbreaking losses because that's the last time Cal beat Stanford, and that was. Shane Vereen running wild against Toby Gerhart and some questionable play calling at the end of the game when Stanford had the ball. But Cal went in, and it, I don't want to say same situation because this is obviously in Berkeley, but Cal was really close last year.
Yep.
They outplayed him. And the matchup, the wherewithal, the knowing of how many times – it sucks to lose to your mm-hmm. rival, and there's nothing stronger than that feeling from the underdog state of mind. So, I'm with you. You're going Cal?
Yeah. And just knowing that the Cal's defense is legit top 10 in efficiency expected points, like Stanford's offense is just so, especially without Arcega Whiteside, if he doesn't play, it's just so like boring. And you think they're going to open up the game run pass on that opening drive? That's like the staple of the Stanford offensive playbook on the road, right?
It is.
And that first drive, handoff.
It is.
Third handoff, play action, boom.
And you know, everybody, you know, Bryce Love's healthy, back to, yeah, but yeah. Behind, anybody behind that line for him. You know, it doesn't matter. So we agree on a game.
We do.
Wow, agree on Cal. We
agreed
two.
On week two.
We did.
Yeah, I see two as well.
Cal plus two. That's 7:30 kickoff, Pac-12 Network. Big game. Which would be interesting, man. Really, really interesting, and might be a tough one to watch for your boy. I'm going to stick in the Pac-12. I want to get your thoughts on this one. Arizona State
mm-hmm.
controls their own destiny to play in the Pac-12 title game.
Got to win at Autzen, got to win in Tucson.
What do you think of that?
It's going to be tough to do, I think.
Oregon's -3.5.
Why is it so low? Like, I looked at this game, and like the handicap of it,
yeah.
With Herbert having played so poorly, with Oregon playing just a mess last week at Utah, you come home, final home game of the year, been much better at home. You got your rival next week who you're so just far superior to. ASU's got guys injured on defense. They got targeting suspension. Everything in the world points to Oregon winning this game easily, but why is it only 3.5?
I don't know. It
scares me.
I can't take Arizona State in this. I've seen it too many times. I just look at Oregon. I mean, they're better. They're 3.5 points better. I know that. I'm going to take Oregon here. I know it from the stinky side. I'm on the wrong side here from the stinky sense. But I just can't do it. It just sticks out to me too much. And I understand, you know, and maybe later in the week the numbers start coming in. Like, I could easily see Van Pelt having Arizona State in this game.
I couldn't play Arizona State. It's either you play Oregon and it's just they're better and you just deal with whatever happened. But I even being a contrarian guy, I couldn't play Arizona State in this game.
I'm going Oregon here. You, sir.
Isn't Iowa State better than Texas even without Montgomery in the first half?
I don't – not in Austin.
You don't think so?
Not in Austin. It's as close as you can get – I'll put it this way. This makes sense. It's as close as you can get with two teams in the same conference. I think these – I can't wait for this game.
I'm really looking forward to this game.
Longhorn Network.
I know. Huge game for the Longhorn Network.
Enormous.
Find it on your local cable provider.
Yep. No, it's on the ESPN app now.
And the app.
Okay. I'm just trying to make sure.
I know, but if you don't have...
People here that get sensitive.
I know they do. I'm one of these old... I have TV, apps, smart...
I got you. Got everything working.
Watch a game on my couch on my TV.
So you're coming over to my Cyclones team.
Your Cyclones team. me and the boys from Ames go back to... to 2000 on the hardwood.
Whoa.
Coach Eustace getting screwed. Having the second best team in the country, and they get screwed in a region with Michigan State.
Marcus Fizer.
Unbelievable.
Was that in Minneapolis?
No, it was in Minneapolis. Palace.
Detroit?
Palace. Go play Michigan State in Detroit.
Even worse.
Total terrible.
I'm with you right there. Totally with one of the most brutal
I love that Iowa State team.
Loved them. That was when Tinsley was a... He played the next year, and then they lost to Hampton.
Yep. Yeah, they were so much better in 2000 than they were 2001. Oh, I love that team. But
anyway.
You've seen teams, though, sometimes. Montgomery gets sucker punched. He reacts. And, of course, I mean, it's the rule's the rule. A lot of times you see teams respond where you got to step in for a half and makes a play. I just love the fact that they have game that travels. You want to go 58-50 or whatever it was in Stillwater? Okay, we can do that. You want to win with defense against West Virginia? Okay, we can do that. I think their game travels. I think when Iowa State takes the field next week, they're playing for a berth in the Big 12 championship game.
So you got Iowa State on the field?
I do.
You don't even want the points.
Money line. Clones.
That was...
Take the three to be safe, but...
Absolutely. Yeah, I was looking at Iowa State as part of a moneyline parlay for later.
There you go,
in the show.
Teaser.
Yeah, all that good stuff. That game's going to be awesome. There's going to be plenty of emotion because, like you said, Iowa State without their best player in that first half has to come in fired up, and you know Texas is coming out jacked up after what they've gone through the last couple weeks. Not the old soft Texas crowd.
No, Guido. Guido's done a number down. He's done a great job down there.
They'll be playing that. Left
Penn State and now down in Austin. Actually created an atmosphere down there, which is shocking.
Yeah.
Great job by Guido.
Two TV night. Big game on one and that Texas Iowa State game on the other. I got one more. It might be my favorite pick of the week. It's Navy. Old Reliable. Looked to have things back last week in that second half against UCF. We've talked about UCF's defense earlier on this podcast. Tulsa comes in. I just look at Navy as the more want to in this spot. They're at home. Obviously, the weather's not going to be ideal. I just think they're relentless on offense. I don't think Tulsa wants any part of that from their defensive side. Tulsa might score some more early on, but overall, Navy, I think, does the darn thing.
Be curious to see that with Tulsa. You said Tulsa's want.
Yeah. You
lose a close game to Texas early in the year. You give a game away against South Florida. And then since then, I can see that.
Mix right there for Tulsa.
Navy's not the type of team that's gonna mail. You saw them play UCF pretty well last week. When a lot of them were 20-something point dog. still got the Army game where they can kind of save their season.
They still have like an incline that, you know,
there's a reason for them to still be playing.
I think they need to get out a lot out of this game. So I like Navy in this spot. Both teams 2-8. Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take the 2-8 team that's given 5 at home. Tulsa already gives up 234 yards on the ground. Navy's going to go for over 300 in this game.
You'd think so.
Right?
You'd think so.
All right. Go Navy.
Beat Army? Beat Tulsa
first. Not yet. This Army-Navy game is setting up for being what the last how many have been the opposite way. You know? So that's always interesting.
Like Army's going to be double-digit favorite. Probably close, I think.
I was going to say, 11.
Be interesting. See if it's double digits. Maybe not.
You don't like those key. You don't believe in those key numbers in the college game, though.
I was going to say, field goal kicking. Forget it.
You got any more for the people?
Couple of lean. I'm on the fence. Maybe make the column. Maybe not. I don't think Syracuse is going to win.
Ooh.
But I could see. We talked about the steamer earlier. I think they're going to score points. And I think this is going to be a 38-31 type game. I really think Syracuse is going to score some points and really hang in there. Their role as a dog lately has been unbelievable. You look at last 8 games as a dog of a touchdown or more than 7 points, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
7-1 against the number, 4-0 ATS against ranked teams that are favored by more than a touchdown. Done great as double digits. I mean, 9.5 or 10 right now. I think Notre Dame's going to win out and go to the playoff, but I think they're going to get tested on Saturday.
So you see a win by like a touchdown?
I can see like 38-31, something like that. And then the other kind of lean that I have, Tennessee has played so much better since halftime of the Alabama game. Like it's been night and day. They were great last week. I know Kentucky's offense is terrible, but they moved the ball. Garantano is starting to make some throws. Now you got Missouri, who a couple weeks ago pulled the upset over Florida and Gainesville. Last week needed a rally to beat Vandy and then held on for dear life. Dangerous spot, I think, for Missouri on Saturday. So I'd be interested in taking potentially Tennessee plus the 6.
At home, 3:30 SEC game.
CBS.
Yeah.
With the cupcake.
Any thoughts on that?
On what?
How many more weeks? How many more years we got to watch this?
Well, my starters at heart. I'm a researcher, and my research has determined that the founding father of the SEC Cupcake game is Urban Meyer.
Correct.
2006, Western Kentucky at Florida before the Florida State game, before the SEC championship game. Let's bring in the old catamounts to come on down and take a 50-3 beating. So everyone likes to yell at Nick about this.
No.
Nick wants 9 conference games.
He does.
But you know what? If no one's going to back him, if anyone else wants it, okay, I'll bring in the old Citadel and rest Tua and
give 51 him. 51 they're giving?
Is that what it is?
I saw somebody post 51.
They can just run the ball 90 plays and probably score. I mean, it's whatever to 0. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
However, the one team that struggled in these games is Auburn. Auburn typically in these SEC Cupcake pre Iron Bowl games, they've struggled the last 4 years in covering the numbers. And Liberty isn't like garbage.
No.
Liberty kept it within the number against Virginia, played respectable against a lot of teams this year. And I saw 28.5, I think, in some places. Yeah. You could interest me in maybe taking Liberty, especially after Auburn last week. Again, you saw what they are offensively after
first quarter.
Was it?
You knew it.
And then their season, circle the wagons next week. If you had to play that game, you could maybe think, you could talk yourself into playing Liberty.
Oh, I thought you were talking about talking yourself into taking Auburn in the Iron Bowl.
No.
24.
Okay.
30. Come on.
30's tough. I'd lay 24, though.
You would?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I could see 38. I could see 38-7 very easily. That's why 31 would
so
be
Auburn
tough.
Go up 7-0?
No. No.
All right. That's for officials. That's all I got. Picks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got another moneyline parlay for you.
I have one now this week
very,
too.
Very good. You want?
How many? If you have 17 again? In
no,
this
no,
one.
No, 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 no. I have 8. I got 8. I got Boise.
You have an 8-team parlay.
I got
these down.
Boise, Temple, Kentucky, Ohio State, A&M, Mississippi State, Louisiana, and Fresno. Those are the 8 I found. There are a couple of double-digit dogs, I think, that were in there that weren't. I didn't feel super, super solid.
Are those all double-digit favorites?
Yes, they are.
So you have just taken the money line picks completely opposite way. Time of year, I love it.
I was going to say, and again, do you want to lay 21 with Boise on the road in Albuquerque against Coach Davey, or do you just want to put him in a find some other big favorites that should win the game and get 2.5 to 1 or whatever on your money? I'm not a chalk guy at all.
I know you're not.
But in a spot like that, I'll gladly take a parlay that paid last week.
In your office pools that Cal UCLA or UCLA and USC mm-hmm. is on that docket and it says USC -3.5, who are you taking?
I'm not laying the points.
All right. So with that, I'm giving you a money line parlay with all little short dogs.
Perfect. It's a great week. I thought about doing that. And I thought about adding a couple of those dogs to but I gave them out as picks as well.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what ones you've come up with.
All right. Well, two of them were already given out on this podcast. Okay. The Dirty Golden Bears of Cal.
Yep.
The Clones of Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
And the old Chipper Bruins from Los Angeles. You know, they're all right around a field goal. Cal's what, 2?
Yeah, Cal's 2.
Or 130.
Plus
you get more than that.
130, 150 for field goal dog.
Yeah, but you're getting 3 of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, you're getting probably,
4 to 1?
I'd probably more. No. Probably more than that.
Really? 4.5?
Three team parlay is 5 to 1, right? Just straight 110?
You're right. Yeah, you're the math guy.
You're probably getting 7 to 1 or so, probably.
All right, let's do it.
It's a big game for Chip and UCLA.
Huge. Saves the season, man.
He can go into year one and beat them as down and trodden as they are, and probably it will knock them out of a bowl game. They're not going to beat Notre Dame next week.
No. I'm telling you right now, I'm taking Notre Dame next week, as long as Notre Dame wins this week. Next week, Notre Dame and Washington. Put it down. Don't let me forget.
Be curious to see.
I don't care what the Apple Cup line is. You hear me?
And I feel so bad for those folks in Pullman.
I still love them, but money's money.
You're correct.
Especially around the holiday season.
Speaking of money's money, like if I didn't pick against Washington State last week in Colorado, I'd think about maybe taking Arizona plus the 10. I thought about that.
Yeah, but I thought that – I didn't have the guts. I knew that game was Cal two weeks ago.
Wazoo's going to – yeah. Yep.
Arizona doesn't want
I don't think they do either.
No
up
peace.
There as well. Yeah,
it's going to be dark at noon.
Yep.
There, people.
We're familiar with that.
Sure are. I'm trying to think what – any odds and ends before we do the Big Mike Happy recap? You called it. Best game of the weekend last weekend was Boise-Fresno State.
Amazing.
I can't wait to see how the Mountain West plays out.
Neither can I. Boise's now legitimately a part of it. Fresno should still be okay.
Utah State's going to beat them.
San Diego State this week. How about that last week?
Whoa.
How does that happen?
I was flicking between that and USC and Cal. I'm like, I can't believe both of these outcomes are going to happen. Like
UNLV.
The second halves, I'm like, Whoa.
You want to think they were double digits in the, were they up 10, 9 or 10 in the fourth quarter?
Yeah. Speaking of UNLV, the old get back might be in effect this week. That midnight, I think it's midnight Eastern.
Yeah, yes. That line
like,
stinks,
what,
man.
Like, that but line UNLV, stinks. Think about how much they partied this week.
Of course.
In the best party school in America.
Now they're going to the beach.
And now they just got half a week in Hawaii to cap it
and
off.
And they might get their starting quarterback back.
They don't want to play. Take the Rainbow Warriors.
That line reeks. Under a touchdown, 6.5.
Come on.
Oh,
you wouldn't throw that in your money line parlay?
I have a good friend who who also loves Hawaii this week. And I know Paulie Howard liked Hawaii as well.
Oh, I heard Paulie's story this morning.
Paulie's got a lot of stories this week.
Why is he working? I thought he won a million.
He just loves it.
I was supposed to go to Mexico City this week, and obviously the game is moved for Monday Night Football. I was supposed to go down there for Van Pelt show. So no travel.
You should still
go. Trust me, plenty of people have already mentioned that to me. I recommended I go out to Maui. In the Maui Invitational and try and get Zion to come on the show.
That's an even better idea.
But I got a nice text from the boss that said,
"No,
nice try."
I was going to say, it was either a one-word reply or a two-word reply.
And he's not a many-word reply guy.
No, that's why,
you know what I mean.
As soon as you said the boss, I was like, this is one word or two words.
So UCF, take care of Herb Street down there.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He actually won't be getting in until...
Oh, don't tell people.
No, it's okay.
They might be at the airport.
The airport that he's going to fly into?
Yeah.
Please.
Boy, does he just come on the top of the set?
This boy's got a playoff game.
The helicopter.
This boy's got a playoff game on Friday night, so he'll be late arriving.
All right. You'll be there Thursday. Where's for dinner? You going over to see Mickey?
No.
Come on.
Company priorities, man. Actually, I'm getting in a little bit later on Thursday. I'm getting like at 6:30 on Thursday. So
just in time for dinner.
Yeah, but we'll see by the time I get to...
Come on, let's see who gets you on Space Mountain. No?
Oh, I loved Space Mountain as a kid. Now, me,
we're all kids at heart.
Rides and me don't do well these days. I remember about, gosh, it had to be 12 years ago, maybe 10 years. Yeah, probably 12. Maybe 10, somewhere around there. Was at Dorney Park with my niece, who desperately wanted to go on like this octopus ride that the not only do the arms spin, but the cart spin inside. Mm-hmm. Uncle Chris, I want it. Okay, let's go on. Let's go. And I know this is going to be a bad idea, and it's not going to end well. And sure, and it spin roller coasters up and down like lightning lube. That I'm okay with that. Spinning, forget it. And literally.
Really?
Oh yeah. And stick head over cart. And just lose it. And my wife just tells the story of just like watching, and she could like see like me leaning and just like, oh no, I think Chris is getting sick. And I did. It was
yikes.
But however, I did gain uncle for life stature points.
Which, there you go. Uncle Chris.
Exactly.
All right. Big Mike, happy recap. I am going Wisconsin +4.5, Wake Forest +7, Cal +2, Oregon -3.5, Navy -5, Ohio State is a lean -14, money line parlay of Cal on the money line, Iowa State on the money line, and UCLA money line. Take those in a parlay.
Nebraska +2.5 against the Spartans. Other opposite side, first time all year, Purdue -4.5 against the Badgers.
Hey.
Agree, Cal +2 versus your alma mater.
Mm-hmm.
Clones +3, agree, Texas. Lean, Missouri. I'm sorry, lean, Tennessee. Lean, Syracuse. Moneyline favorite parlay. See if we can knock two of these out. Wake Forest +7 as well. Forgot to mention Wake, agree. So a couple of dogs that we all agree on this week, which is great. Those usually work out well. Money line, Boise, Temple, Kentucky, Ohio State, A&M, Mississippi State, Fresno State, and the Raging Cajuns.
All of them. Take them. That'll do it for week 12, Bear. We got one more week, and then it's championship Saturday.
One more full week, then
it's not really full next week.
Yeah, it is. Well, you got Friday games and Saturday. You know, it's
gonna be tricky there.
It will be.
Gotta make sure you what do they say? Subscribe, download,
and rate.
Do it for Kyrie.
And review. There you go.
And review.
It's kind of like
subscribe, rate, and review.
Download.
All right. And download.
It sounds like the rules of dodgeball. It sounds like, right? Duck, dodge.
All right. That's going to be enough. Take us away, Bear.
Less you bet, the more you lose when you win.